Thank you, men, for singing. That sounds always sounds so beautiful to hear men sing to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray as we're turning, and I don't want this to become something routine that I say, but I want the Lord to have His way this morning in our lives. And I really believe that that requires two things of us for God to work in our lives. I read something last night. I really wasn't looking for it, but I read it. And when I did, it broke my heart is what it did. In John 12:37, you can read it later, but it says, even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in Him. Isn't that incredible? People say we want signs and wonders. When I was laying in my bed last night meditating on that, I said, you know, Lord, when I got saved, I didn't see any miracle. I didn't see anybody get healed, anyone get delivered. But something happened so real in my life on February the 12th, 1978, that it changed my life forever. And that was the inner working of the Spirit of God in my life to convict me and draw me to a Savior I did not know. I believe there is a place for signs and wonders. But I can tell you this, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to work in us, to convince us that we need help. Not just signs and wonders. It's a fact. And so, you know, I when I was praying this morning and before, I just said, Lord, I'm just gonna leave it in your hands that you know what we need. Because I don't. But I believe there's two things that is absolutely critical and crucial to the Lord working in this place in the next few minutes in our lives. Number one, we have to believe Him. We have to believe that He's here and that He wants to help us. How many would say amen to that? I believe in the Lord. I believe the Lord is real. I believe He's here. I don't see Him, but I don't have to see Him to believe Him. I believe that He's here. But the second thing that I have to do is that I have to yield to Him. I have to yield to Him. I have to do what He tells me to do. Do you know, I believe that that's why so many people, I know so many people get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, but there's so many that don't. And I think those two reasons is what hinders so many. Because if you're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, number one, you've got to believe. And number two, you've got to yield. It's your body, but you've got to yield. How else can anything happen in our lives unless we have faith in God and we yield to Him? If you're going to get saved, healed, delivered, filled, be blessed, you're going to have to believe God is who He says He is. And you're going to have to yield your life to Him. Somebody is going to have to yield and let the Lord do what He wants to do. I want to yield this morning. Amen. I want everything the Lord has for me today. Man, if you made the effort to get up and brush your teeth and comb your hair, shower and get ready to get up on a Sunday morning, then I believe that if you're here, you want to have an encounter with the Lord. I mean, I just really believe that's what we need here today is an encounter with the Lord. And so, well, let's pray today. Father, we want you to know that we believe you. We trust you. We know that you're here. We may not see you. We may not even feel your presence, but Lord, you're here. And Lord, we yield to you. Our lives, we yield our lives. They are ours to yield. They're either ours to hold or they're ours to let go and give it to you. And Lord, right now we give you our lives, everything, past, present, and future. Gifts, talents, and abilities, we give them to you. Everything that we have, everything that we are, everything that we will ever be, we give it to you. We lay it at your feet. And Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the men that are here today and for the women and the young people and the children that are here today. That, Lord, for the next few minutes, that, Lord, we will come under a dealing of the power of the Holy Spirit in this building. That, Lord, it will be like nothing else in our week. It will be like nothing else. And we ask you, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that will destroy every yoke over our lives, over our minds, our wills, our emotions, our spirit, our bodies. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let there be, Lord, such a breakthrough in this house, in our lives, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we'll love you and praise you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your leadership and your lordship in this place, in this service, during this message, Holy Spirit. I cannot do it in my own ability. I need you, Holy Spirit, to flow through me like a mighty river and minister to these precious people here today. Only you know where they live and what they've been through and what they're about to go through. And only you know what they need in their life today. So, Holy Spirit, we depend upon you for everything right now. And Lord, we thank you right now for your holy written word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone say a good amen. Amen. The title of my message, not only is it Father's Day, but it's Living Like a Loosed Man. Living Like a Loosed Man. I want to talk about that today in John chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. I want to read those two verses. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Now, you know, there is something about when we go from being guilty in the presence of the Lord to being totally forgiven, there is something from moving from being delivered out of bondage and darkness and moving into a place of great freedom and liberty. There is something to be said about those that have broken lives, broken marriages, broken children, broken finances, everything that is just broken. And when we come to the Lord, he restores it and puts it back the way he wants it. There's something to be said about somebody that God takes from the grave, from the dead darkness, and brings them back to life. That it becomes a memorable moment, something you never forget. How many believe that your day, the day God forgave you and the day you got saved, is a day you'll never forget? It really is the greatest day of your life because it has the greatest rewards to it. It was a powerful day. It is a memorable when the Lord releases us, delivers us from old ties, from terrible decisions, from self-destruction, to live in a place of peace and power and joy. How many know that's an incredible moment of our lives? You know why? Because we become survivors. And that's what Lazarus was. He was a survivor. God had raised him from the dead. He was a survivor. He had experienced something that few had ever experienced. It was an incredible thing when the Lord God opened, when he opens the graves of our failure, and he shows and he proves that he cares about you and that he wants you, that he desires for you and I to have abundant life. It's incredible. This is such a shift and a transformation and a translation and a change that it's hard to put into words sometimes exactly what God is doing in us. It's very difficult sometimes. You know, when I thought about that, I thought about the man, and Debbie mentioned about it, when the blind man, when Jesus healed him, And you know, remember when Jesus healed that blind man and spit and put it in his eyes, and he had been born blind, and then all of a sudden the Jews began to turn on him, and I mean, they started getting really upset about what it was, and they went to ask him, and they went to his parents, and his parents knew, well, we don't know, we'll go ask him what happened. And when they finally went and asked him, one of the times he said, listen, I don't know exactly what happened here. All I know is this. I was blind. Now I see. There's just a lot of times we can't put human words into what God has done for us. I don't know what happened to me. I just know this. I was in a mess, and today God has blessed me. I don't know how it all took place. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I know one thing. I know who did it. I don't know why he did it, but I'm standing here, and I'm not the same person I was before he got to me. Lazarus set a pattern for every scarred survivor who ever came after him. Lazarus is to stand as an ambassador of hope to every man who ever needed or dreamed of a second chance. His life was over. He was dead. He was gone. He was buried. He was sealed. But even those things don't intimidate a Savior like Jesus. You know, when I wrote that statement, my mind began to flash about the families in our church that are dealing with some incredible trials. Things that they're going through, things that their children are going through. Some that are having incredible marriage problems and things of that nature. And I just began to think about it and how it points in our life. Things look so dead and gone and buried and sealed as if we can't get to it. We can't change it. But those things don't intimidate him. They intimidate us, but not him. You remember Lazarus had not been dead 4 hours, but 4 days. It was over with. See, there's things that are going to happen in your life, and it looks like it's a done deal. You may be looking at a situation about your life, your marriage, your children, and it just looks like it's just never going to change. Well, I'm here to tell you something. Hopelessness is a work of the devil. The devil wants you to give up on him. He wants you to forget about him, and he wants you to just think in your mind that it's dead and gone and there's nothing you can do. Oh, he would love for you to do that. Instead of just saying, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care how long it's been going on. I'm going to believe he's going to do something here. See, he wants to convince you to give it up and to let go. He operates like that. I'm telling you, don't give up. You say, Pastor, I don't have any more strength. You're right, but he has all you need. So go get some more. Because it's never time to give up. It's never time to quit praying and believing God to do something great. That's what he does. God does great, supernatural, awesome, impossible things for us. But he's got to have us in a place that we believe him and that we yield to him. And we say, oh Lord, it's beyond me, but it's not beyond you. Man, we believe that God can do it. Some of you are miracles, supernatural miracles. Your life was over. Done, dead, gone, sealed. But God reached down and pulled you out of that mess. And you're here worshiping him today. So don't think it can't happen to other people. Lazarus is proof positive that God can produce a comeback. He can make even a disaster, a mishap, an unforeseen storm. He can bring something great out of it. But what he needs is somebody believing him. In the wee hours of the morning when you wake up and you cry about it, when you're through crying, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Cry, weep. It breaks you. It makes you feel afraid. But when it's all said and done, at the end of it, say, but in the name of Jesus, I will not give up. And then go back to sleep. What would you do if you were Lazarus? Your life had been snatched from the grip of death and the grave. You had been given life, a supernatural domination. Now, folks, you know, we believe this. We believe it because the Bible teaches it. That once you die, your body separates from your spirit immediately. Goes into, if you're saved, you go immediately into the presence of the Lord. We believe that. So Lazarus was there. Now, can you imagine 4 days and they're bringing him back? He's up there having a hoedown up there. And somebody whistles, whoop! Hey, Lazarus, hey, they need you back down here. A few more days, boy. I'm serious. Can you imagine that translation, that change to go back into his body and them to walk him out in those grave clothes? And Jesus says, set him free, loose him and let him go. See, God is in the business of loosing us. And then given us the power to live a loose life. You ever heard anybody say, man, there's somebody on the loose. We got a criminal out there, man, on the loose, man, on the run. We need some Christian men and women that are on the loose. That nothing's holding them back. I mean, they're a terror to the enemy. They are loosed. That the devil fears them. Because when they walk in, he doesn't know which way it's going to happen. He just knows it's going to happen. How do you live once you've tasted death? How do you live once you've been revised and then talk about it? How do we live once we know it looks so bad and you've been dead, so gone, and now you're alive and you're well? My God, my God, my God. It's incredible. Let me tell you something more incredible. It's to take what God has given us and just to sit down and be quiet about it. That's not even natural, folks. Jesus has called us all out of darkness and death and despair. We were all done. It was over, humanly speaking, for all of us. But he called us out of that darkness, that death. Into life. And now we are to live a loosed life. I want to talk about that for just a few minutes. I have a few points here. I don't usually have points. It doesn't come to me that way, but every once in a while it works out that way. And I like to preach with points because they're easier to handle. That's what they call them. Points are like handles you can hold on to. Number one, loosed men stay with Jesus. Look in verse 9 of chapter 12. I have it on the board. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Woo! Let me tell you something, folks. Wherever Jesus was, Lazarus showed up there. Because loose men stay with Christ. There is a connection. There is a union. There is a relationship. Wherever he goes, I'm going. Wherever they found Christ, Lazarus was right there with him. Why? Because loose men stay with Christ. They stay close. Once you hear him speak, once you hear the Lord speak, you want to hear him again. His voice is like no other voice. If Jesus was around, then you know that's where Lazarus wanted to be, and that's where he was. And that's the way it must be with us. No matter where we are, no matter where we go, no matter what we're doing, we are wanting to be with him. Folks, I put it this way. When we are where we are supposed to be, it's not long that we're thinking about him, we're talking about him, we're talking to him, and we're thanking him. That's just the way that it is. Because loose men stay with Christ. They don't drift from him. They stay close to him. The Jews knew that if they wanted to see the man who raised Lazarus from the dead, they had to go where Jesus was. Why? Because Lazarus was always with Jesus. If we're going to live loose lives, we must give up and avoid associations and relationships that help the enemy attack us. You're staying with the wrong people. You're hooked to the wrong thing. You got to let them go, even if it means that you've got to be alone and by yourself for a while. The Lord will bring new people into your life. But you've got to let go of associations and relationships that keep allowing the enemy to come through them and attack you. There's nothing wrong. You know, when I got saved, and I know many of you are like this, but, you know, most of my family is not saved. And those who claim to be saved don't live like they're saved. So I don't know where they are. I'm not their judge. I don't believe in things like that. So, but I'm not here to talk about that. I just believe that if a person or a man or a woman is saved, I believe their life will prove they are saved. I need a better amen than that. That'd be like saying you're an alcoholic, but you never drink. Or you're a hunter, but you don't own a gun. Or you like fishing, but you don't own a fishing rod. I'm a Christian, but I don't like to do what Christians do. Don't wash. It don't wash. To me, that'll be the group that says, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Right? Oh, say, that's good preaching there, Jay. Yeah, way to go, Pastor. We sure enjoy that. See, I'm telling you, you got to let go of relationships and associations that allow the enemy to attack you through them. Girlfriends, boyfriends, whoever they are, you've got to let them go. Old friends, they've got to understand you've got a new love in your life and you've got a new master in your life. Amen? And you're not ashamed of it, because wherever Jesus is, that's where you'll be, and wherever you are, Jesus will be. Amen? And you like it that way. This is a new life that God has given us. It's a loosed life. And anything in our life that doesn't honor and please the Lord, I'm through with it. I'm ready to let it go. It won't help me. He saved my life. I belong to him. And my life as I know it is over with, or as I knew it is over with. And there's a new and living way I'm learning to live. And I don't know it all, but I'm learning to live a new and living way. And I'm going to do it because that way is the way where Jesus is. Because let me tell you something. Men who truly are loosed by God stay with who loosed them. Do you think Lazarus, to go through and to come out of what he came out of, could just go on and live his life as though Christ did not exist? No, he couldn't do it. So loose men stay with Christ. Number two, loose men can recline in his presence. Verse 2. Did you read it? Here at a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus. Look at this. It's like, there he was. What was he doing? Reclining. Hey. Hey, Lazarus. Hey. Where's Jesus? Oh, he's right here. This is where he is. Hello, Jesus. I love you. I love you. I love you. Do you know what this means? Oh, he wasn't at all upset about being in his presence. He loved it. Just reclining at the table. Hot dog, hand me the olives, pour me something. You need anything, Jesus? I love my Lord. See, people come, they get kind of nervous in the presence of the Lord. They don't recline. It's like, oh, dear God. Oh, dear God, is he here? Oh, Lord, what is that? You're good? Yeah, I got saved when I was 8. Seriously? Yeah, I saved a long time ago, but I don't know what this is, man. This is something, man. I need to go smoke a cigarette. I need to calm myself down. I'm serious. My dad used to smoke cigarettes, and sometimes he couldn't wait to get out of church. He would smoke so fast because what he was experiencing in here. But you know, it's not here to scare you. It's here to comfort you. And the Lord wants you to be able to recline in His presence. Just enjoy His presence. He doesn't come down here to make us upset. He's here to give you comfort and peace. I'm telling you, Lazarus, loose men can recline in His presence. They love it. It's no problem. They enjoy it. There's something about it. Let me tell you something. Once we've survived a real attack and come through what he did, we don't toy with warm thoughts about some higher power. No. You making fun? A little bit. A little bit. Our thoughts aren't fixed on some big guy in the sky or some man upstairs. No way. No, we're not talking about some higher power, some man upstairs. No, we're talking about a man named Jesus. And that's who Lazarus knew. He knew who called him out of that darkness and brought him back to life. And you and I know who did it too. And who brought you out and who keeps bringing you out and who keeps sustaining you and who keeps helping you and who's going to take you all the way home. It's not the man upstairs. His name is Jesus. Praising, praising. Woo! Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. It was Jesus who pulled you out of that pit. It's Jesus who healed you. It's Jesus who restored you. And when we come to church, we are comfortable to be. In fact, if he's not here, we get uncomfortable. Man, if we sing songs and go through part of the service and we don't feel his presence, we know something's wrong. See, some men and some people don't continue long. They don't hang around the table with the Lord after that. They seem to find other things to do. Lazarus was smarter than that. He was alive and well, and his old life was over. Jesus was there for him when he needed him. Now he was going to be there for Jesus. He was at that table reclining. That's where they found him. I like that, reclining. Gosh, it's kind of funny. You know, it didn't bother Jesus either. Lazarus lived at his master's side. He was so relaxed in his presence, his new life. He loved it. He loved his new life. Do you love your Christian life? Amen. I mean, do you love living for the Lord? Amen. See, we can't afford to cool off. We must stay very, very close to him. We can't drift away. The Lord knows those who love him, want to be with him. He knows those that get nervous and afraid. Those who only call upon him when they're in trouble. See, Psalms 91 verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. The word dwelleth means live in the presence of God. See, let me just share this with you. And I'm really want to just take a side road here. See, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, that's a decision we make. We want to live there with the Lord. It says, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Now, I want to tell you something, teach you something that maybe you already know. But see, when God created us, man has no innate ability to protect himself. You know, I had a little trouble getting to sleep last night, and about 11:30, I don't know, I was just laying there. It was completely dark. And I was just, all I could hear was myself breathing, and I thought, dear God, if the air was taken away from this earth within minutes, all of us would be dead. That's pretty fragile. Not hours, weeks, months, minutes. 2, 3 at the most. We'd all suffocate. Everything would be dead. See, man does not have the ability to protect himself. That's why he likened us to sheep. Because sheep have no defensive. They don't. They can't do anything. They can't run fast. They can't bite. They don't have ways to. They can't. All they can do, the only hope they have is that they have an attentive shepherd who will take care of them if trouble happens. Isn't that right? And see, those sheep know they have to stay close to that shepherd, because that shepherd's the one who's going to protect them. That shepherd had the ability to do it. They could do things with a staff and a sling and a rock that would, man, they could kill a snake. They could throw a rock and kill a snake. That's what David was. He was a shepherd. How do you think he got good with a sling and a rock? Because he was a shepherd. Man, he could see a snake slithering across there and just pick up a snake and just do it like a .22 with a scope on it. Just, psh. But see, what he'd do, he'd watch it, keep those sheep back. He'd say, hold on. Those sheep would stay there till he killed that enemy. Then he'd say, now we can go through. See, that's no different from today. We have lots of enemies, lots of things that want to hurt us and destroy us. Oh, but we've got a greater shepherd than that. But we've got to stay with that shepherd. Isn't that right? Now, isn't that comforting to know that all we like sheep? See, we are like sheep. But see, when we dwell in his presence, then God covers us. We're under him. He watches over us. It's an incredible thing to live in the presence of the Lord. Number three, loose men cannot survive without him. It's not that we're just drawn to him because of the high and the good feeling we receive and of his presence and his goodness. We need him like drug addicts need their drugs. I don't know how many in here you've ever been addicted. There's people here today that, and there still may be, you may have addictions in your life. We live in a day of addiction. People are addicted. That means, really in the raw definition of the word, it just means that I cannot live without it. Isn't that right? And people are so ashamed of it. And they try to justify it in so many unrealistic ways for their addiction. But whatever it is, it's got a hold of you. And if you don't let Jesus destroy it, it's going to destroy you. See, people even get quiet about it because, see, there's more of it at work. And I'm not only talking about addiction to drugs and to alcohol, which is pandemic, and addicted to pornography and addicted to immorality and addicted to sex and addicted to all of these things that, you know, have the ability to just consume you and then destroy you and just throw you away like a piece of paper, just an empty wrapper, just throw you away. But see, it's not enough for me to stand up here and talk about and define addiction, especially in Pasadena when there's so much addiction. I want, as a pastor, that we create an atmosphere where people can come down here and cry out and say, Lord, deliver me from my addictions. That they feel like they can get some help before they lose it all. But see, that goes back to those things I talked about. You've got to, first of all, believe God wants to help you. And second, then you've got to yield to him. That's how you're going to get free of addiction. Because I can tell you this, and there's some in here that will tell you this. When you cry out and tell him you've got an addiction, he'll love you and he'll help you. Now, others may judge you and others may not have a thing to do with you, but that's not him. That's all right. See, we need him. Loosed men cannot survive without him. It's like an addiction. We have to worship him. It is just part of us now. It is, Lazarus had to be with him. It wasn't just something, just the ability just to relax and just say, I'm going to mosey over and spend some time. No, it was his life now. He had to be there. He had to worship. Folks, it gets to that. When I first got saved, I didn't understand any of this. But in the years that I've learned and I've tried to be a disciple and be taught by the Lord, these things have consumed me that I cannot go long without thanking him, looking to him, just worshiping him, Lord, thinking about him, listening to him, following him. It's my life now. It's what I want more than anything else. He's not just a part of our lives. He is our life. See, men were created to dwell in the presence of God, not just go in and out of it. Not come to church and say, oh, man, that was the Lord was there today, and then go out and go home and the Lord's not there. And you go back to your world that's really, it's pushed God to the side. God isn't like that. He wants to be everything. He wants to be with you in everything. You say, I don't know if I can do that. That's a good answer. But I'll tell you this, God can make you like that. But we have to allow the Lord to work in us and take care of these addictions and take care of everything or anything or anyone that is coming between us and Him. Keeps us from serving the Lord. Men were created to dwell in the presence of God like fish in water. Have you ever seen a fish out of water? It looks abnormal. It doesn't look right. All they can do is just kind of flop. They're not built for it, for land. And so they look awkward. They're just flopping around. Have you ever seen somebody without God? They're just flopping around. I'm serious. Nothing's working. They're not able to get a hold of anything because they're not in their place. Pick up that fish, put him in the water, and he takes off because that's what he was created to do. Take a man or take a woman and let God come into their life and God loose them. God fill them. And then they'll begin to work right. Men and women work right when God's in the center of their life. It is the highest place you and I will ever live. If you want to stay loose, then let God. You have to have Him. If we can go hours without worshiping Him, we're living too far away from Him. And we must move whatever's keeping us from having that with the Lord. His presence is a healing balm. It gives us strength and hope and help and rest. It fills our life. It puts power in us to overcome. When we come to church, it's not just to sing. It's not just to hear a message. It's to get full of God again. So when we go out into that world, we have something that will fight that thing out there. You know it's waiting on you. We learn we can turn our cars, our trucks into sanctuaries, our homes, our workplace, at school, wherever we go. We can stop and we can praise Him. We can worship Him anytime, any place. We don't care. Do you think a billion Muslims care that you watch that they take their little rugs and five times a day roll it out and then bow towards Mecca and pray? They could care less who's watching them. Their devotion to God is that strong. And I'm not saying make some spectacle out of it, but it won't matter. If you're walking in the mall and you're just walking down, you can just pull aside, just get out of the road there a little bit and just pull off the side and look like you're looking at shoes and say, Lord, I just want to stop here and I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Dear God, I want to thank you. I mowed my grass Monday, and I told you, I really enjoy doing my yard. I always have enjoyed doing my yard work. I like to do my yard work. But I've made my yard work a time when I can worship and praise God. I speak in tongues almost the whole time. It's just something that's in me. It's helping me physically. I need to exert physically. But this past Monday, I was walking. I was in my backyard, and I was mowing. And, man, I began to pray in tongues. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on me. I thought, dear God. And it was hot, hot, humid. Man, I was sweating. But the hair on the back of my neck was standing straight up because of God's presence was right there. He loves it when we worship Him. When we don't let anything hinder us, that we turn everything into a sanctuary for Him. Let me tell you something. If His presence doesn't fill you after you're saved, you're an open target for the enemy to come back and find you clean but empty. We better get full today. And the last one, I'm closing with this. Loosed men want other men to be loosed. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can't stand to see other men in bondage, knowing that they're loosed and what God did for them. They can't look at another man and say, I want God to do for me what he's done for you. Isn't that right? Loose men want other men to be loosed. Look in verses chapter 12, 17. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Oh, God. They just wouldn't shut up about this. I mean, well, you'd have to agree. I mean, when you go to some man's funeral and then he walks into the party, it's like, dear God, where did he come from? I mean, you'd have to admit this was a kind of an eye-stopper here. It was, look who's here. Who? Lazarus? Who? We just buried him 4 days ago. Now he's here. What's going on here? This isn't right. This is just not the way it is. See, it's never recorded Lazarus ever preached the message. He didn't have to. All he had to do was walk in. Think about it. That was enough. God help him if he'd ever preached on it. I mean, think about it. We just don't let this stuff stick into us. But he's dead 4 days. Now he's here. He's eating bread, eating fish with me, sitting at the table. Where do I put this? Folks, I'm telling you, when God does things, it is so supernatural. It is so off the chart. And see, there's people in our lives and there's people in this room. What you need is that it's not humanly possible to give you what you need. Only God can do for you what he needs to do. See, the devil said, I knocked him down. I put him in that grave, but Jesus got him out of it. And that's the same thing that happens to us. The devil says, I put him on drugs. I put him on alcohol. I took away everything out of his life. And look what Jesus has done. He's restored everything back to him. Do you hear me? Do you understand? You mean he's the only one? He's the only one. He's the only one that's going to run around here and say, I'm going to live a loose life. He's the only one. Run! Run! Run, Isaiah! Run! Run! Hey, excuse me. Y'all do recognize the boy and the things. Some people will be like, well, that's out of order. That's not out of order. That's in the order. The devil thought he had killed you. He thought your life was over. But Jesus came in. Come on, let's praise him. Worship team. Come on, worship team. I'm going to say it again. The devil had knocked him down. He had put him in that grave. He had put a seal over it. But Jesus walked back in. I don't know what you're facing, but I can tell you this. Jesus is the solution. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Woo! Hallelujah. We've been loosed and we're going to live loosed. I don't want to go back to where I came from. The Lord has given me a new and living way to live for Him. I want to live with Him. I want to live close to Him. I want to draw near to Him. I want to worship Him. I want to think about Him all the time. I want to talk to Him. I want to listen to Him. I want to thank Him. Man, He's loosed us. He has set us free. Folks, we've got to stay loosed. We know our mission is clear. He's loosed us. He's called us out of darkness. He's forgiven us. He's adopted us. He's our Savior. Now we've got to go back and help other men get loosed. You've got something. Tell me y'all got a good one back here. Don't make me start singing. I'll sing. And you'll wish. Okay, where are we going? You got one? Okay, all right, here we go. Let me tell you something. Right before they sing, we're going to worship our God like we're loosed. Yeah. I want to get a reputation in our community. Yeah. But just like Lazarus, the religious people hated him. Who cares? I don't care. He loves me, and I love him. Oh, hallelujah. Here, hey, we're going to go back into the enemy's camp. Yeah. See, they saw us when we were dead and underneath all that. Now let's let them see us in our resurrected life. Come on, let's sing, Brandon. Hallelujah. Come on, worship. Worship Him. Worship Him.